Amy's joining me here today. Amy, it's great to have you here. I'm going to start off a little bit differently today. I want you to share a little bit, because this little booklet has a story. I want you to share a little bit about who you are and why these topics are so important. And what's the history behind the booklet that Benny and I have? Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here. I designed this booklet. It's basically a compilation of all the shows that I have done. I have on my website, I have a bunch of PDFs that I designed on good indoor air quality, how to become more energy efficient, if you're building new construction, managing waste, all these topics. I have PDFs for people to get tips and more information on my website, which is at rhinoraz.com. But I made this booklet for my client appreciation party this past week, just for people to just become more aware and, you know, conscious about what's going on and how they can do little steps, because every little small step counts, like we talked about.
So how was the party?
The party was great.
I love that client appreciation party.
It was
fun. That's very cool.
We had the Columbia Tower, and it was a gorgeous day on Saturday, so the views
were
awesome.
You were there, Jason? He's like raising his hand.
I was there.
Very cool.
I was there.
Cool.
It was a fun time. Our kids went.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Family friendly.
So you brought Jason along. This is a cool topic. I mean, it really is, this idea of understanding eco-conscious living, but also to understand what retrofitting is. And what does that mean in terms of the homes we're currently living in? You know, there are a lot of people that buy homes and they just throw their hands up and they say, I can't do anything. You know, this house was built before I got here. But that's really not true, is it?
Right. You know, I mean, one of the biggest challenges and opportunities that green building faces is actually the renovation of existing homes. The majority of our stock is older, and it needs some level of retrofit to make us be more sustainable. Jason, who's here with me today, he owns Bat and Lair. Him and his wife own it, and they've been around about almost 14 years, and they're a local company who is designed, dedicated to designing and building green, and he's super passionate about retrofitting existing homes, not just to make them more energy efficient, but also more functional and sustainable. So I'm really glad that Jason's here with me. Thank you.
Good to have you, Jason.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what Eco-Conscious Living Series is about, but, you know, what is important about this topic, retrofitting? You know, what should people know about it? What are the myths behind this?
You know, I think that when people have an existing home, it's really difficult to prioritize exactly what projects should be completed first. And I think in retrofitting your home, things should be done in a sequential order in order just to make sure you're getting to everything. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Every home is different, and you really need to understand and have a customized, tailored approach to your house specifically, because you only have one shot at doing certain things. If sheetrock's being removed, that's a one-time thing. You know,
right.
More than likely you're replacing your roof, you know, once, siding once. You know, you have one shot at doing some things when you're living in an existing home.
And, you know, what is your take on, for example, laying out a plan? Because I'm one of these folks that, and you know, when I said you can't undo something you've already done, if I were to go back and think of all the things that I've remodeled and changed, I probably would have sat down and had a larger plan, even if I didn't have the budget to do some of the other things, right?
Right.
I would have probably gone back and said, okay, these are the things I'd like to get done. But, you know, this thing over here with the fireplace, I can't get that done right now.
Right. Well, I mean, people can go back and redo things. It's just a matter of, you know, are you willing to rip out that kitchen remodel to do it properly again?
No, that would not work for me. That really doesn't get the family vote either too much on that one. No.
No. So, I mean, you know, you do mostly have one time, and it is really essential to do it right the first time and have a holistic approach to focus on the whole house as a system. We've talked about that a lot in this series for energy efficiency and indoor air quality, and really focusing on the house as a system and ensuring things are done in the right order, I think, is really important.
I would go as far as to say, you talk a lot about transformation, I think, on this show
and
on this station. I would say it is transformative to treat it as a whole.
Yeah,
to
it
make
is.
A whole plan and execute it in a way that makes sense for you and your family. One thing we always talk about in our business among my cohorts is people think in silos about these things. Houses are complex things. Our lives are complex things. It's easier to think in a silo, to say, this year I'm focusing on two things. I'm going to ignore the rest. if that's what we need to do, wouldn't it be nice if we had a plan to guide us, to help us think about where are we in the context of this? Where are we in our life plan?
I love what you just said for a couple of reasons. One, I like to look forward to things. I think that's my nature. I like to look forward to things. You know, as you're seeing something being redone or remodeled, right, you see the benefit of that because that's what I love about this. You get to see it. And then knowing that you're doing something that is amazingly eco-conscious, you know, gives you a different feeling at heart. But you can get to look forward to it. And if you are having it, if it's on your radar, you know, you may get to do it sooner. But you already have a game plan. It's not like you have to go and so here's the thing that bothers me sometimes. Every time you go through something like this, right, if you take it one piece at a time, all of the agonizing over it, what to do, how to do it, what the next steps are, when you have a plan, you don't have to do that every time. And I don't know about you, but this can be emotional. And to have a plan and go through all of that once and get excited about it is great. To have to go through it every time you want to do something in the house and get family agreement is crazy making. At least for me, it is.
Yeah, so there's some life damage control to pay attention to there. But
that's
I think
right.
on the sort of impassioned side of this work, the thing that gets me going in the morning a lot of times is when we treat the whole, when we think about the whole, when we make a good plan, the transformation I'm talking about is we can reduce the needs of our homes and our families by way more than 50%. I think you talked about myths earlier.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back from break because there are a lot, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big myths is there's only so much I can do. It's an
I
old
know.
House. There's only so much I can
I
do.
I know.
What if we got out of that mindset and said,
"What if we
it's
said,
amazing to think what we could accomplish here.
What else? What if we said, what else is possible here? What happens with that? But if we do it without the assistance and help, we're in trouble. Let's take a short break. When we come back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. Amy Jewell is joining us here today. But before we jump ahead, Amy, I would like you to let's give out some websites, and then we'll answer that amazing question, how many homes actually exist in the greater Seattle area. And then we're going to talk about some of the myths, because I think that we don't do enough to really say, this is what we believe, and by the way, this is really the truth of this. And this has been an issue in the green movement for a really long time. I mean, you know, probably when you were, like, really little. But it really was. I come from a state where we incorporated one of the first cleanup programs ever. And what was the need? Okay, well, the need was hypodermic needles were showing up on the Jersey Shore. You got to do something. The Hudson was completely polluted, and so there was a need. So some very strict things were put into place early on. But I wanted to ask you, when we're talking about retrofitting, what are we really talking about in terms of this particular region? And, you know, how many homes are here and how many candidates do we have?
Yes. Yeah, so just to go back on ecoconsciousliving.com, I have information about all of these topics, including our topic we've been talking about today. And, you know, retrofitting is definitely a topic I've been most excited about because we do have lots of homes in the area. And in King County, homes that are built before the year 2000, we actually have exactly 421,369 homes. And those are homes that were built before the year 2000.
Right.
You know, I just picked, you have to pick some sort of year. I mean, obviously there were energy codes within that time. And so, you know, the homes that were built since the year 2000 of that, I think only about 20% of those homes are built green, which isn't a lot compared to us talking last week about new homes this year that are being built green are about 43%. So we're definitely coming along. The new homes coming up, we're about halfway there having them be built.
We have got to be ahead of the national region. I'm going back to the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast, and they have a different scenario about this. You know, there aren't many conversations like this that really happen.
I think it's becoming more, you know, the more that public becomes aware of it, the more in the limelight the topics get.
We got to bust the myths. That's what we got to do. So 400 just in King County. So
just
I want to be
King
really
County.
Clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, homes that are built before 2000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, those homes all need some level of energy retrofit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the next 10 years, there's going to be at least 100,000 of those homes that are going to be extensively remodeled. So it really is important to make sure that it's done in the right manner and it's done in a sustainable manner.
Well, what's interesting to me is just looking what's happened to the fireplace issue, as my friend calls it. You know, there is a fireplace issue for some people. You know, how dare you take away me burning my wood in my fireplace? Okay, so what are some of the myths? That's going to be one of them, I'm sure. Jason, what are some of the myths around this?
All right, myth number one, retrofitting is separate from remodeling. We got to get out of that mindset.
Why do we call it different things then? Because this is really what makes us confusing.
Why don't we
call it retro modeling?
I'm with
Bam.
You. I'll go there. Retro
Bam.
Modeling.
Bam! That's a new term.
I could sell that.
You could sell that. That's my gift to you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. That's a big one. I think if we keep thinking about, I've got these projects that I really care about, that my family really cares about, that have to do with remodeling the kitchen or adding a bedroom, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then I have to get to all that energy stuff that my energy auditor told me about or my realtor told me about.
Or that I just know about.
Guess where it goes on the list?
What doesn't?
It's low.
Yeah, it is.
It's not the very top.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come out of our consciousness, though.
No.
Right.
It is there, and it's important to have the knowledge, the information, the data to be able to act. But I do think we got to start. This is back to making the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all together. Right? Like if the remodeling includes the energy stuff, well, then when we attend to the kitchen, we know how that part of our attention is going to affect the whole, affect the big plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now one of the big myths, and this is about what is true.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you based on personal experience, our business's experience, it is easy in the Seattle climate to get to 50% reduction on your existing home. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you it's possible to get to the realm of 90% reduction. I'm not talking by adding solar panels or wind turbines.
I was just going to ask you that.
Working on the existing thing, reducing its needs. This doesn't require wearing sweaters every day. It doesn't require living like a Luddite. You can have all of the creature comforts you want, and 50% is easy.
Well, I think part of this, the conversation, and I'm going to ask you guys about this, for a lot of people, they want to be able to do this. We have an interesting situation here. As it was put to me, you know, people want to save the energy, but they don't want to shut the light out. And, you know, we have had to come up with very creative ways to do that. Right, Amy? I mean, you're never going to go into somebody's house, I hope not, and say, oh, just shut your blinds. Really? You know, not on a day like today. So we've had to be very creative here, I think.
Well, I think, again, a lot of it comes down to being aware, you know, like Jason said. I mean, yeah, you can just run around shutting off lights and wearing sweaters, but you can also just become more aware of your family's energy consumption and just becoming aware of how much energy you're using and start, you know, thinking about, you know, what you can do to make a game plan while still enjoying and living life the way you want to live it.
That's okay. So where do we begin?
So, I mean, the best place to begin is with getting a professional energy assessment. We talked about this in our energy session. And, you know, there's numerous do-it-yourself checklists that people can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really best to take advantage of a professional because they have a lot of diagnostic tools like the infrared scanners and duct blasters. And
what is that? What is the infrared scanner?
It's a fancy camera. It used to be,
well, what
I would
it
say
check?
Up until a few years ago, they cost about $30,000. They've come way down in price. We professionals can get a hold of them in the $3,000-$4,000 range.
And what
now.
Do they do?
It's like a handheld, one handheld screen with a lens on the front. You point it at the wall, and it tells you the temperature differentials across the wall. Ooh,
so you can see where air is leaking in.
So if I were to point it at you, I could see that your hands are probably a little cold, and your face is really warm, and it'll do it on people's bodies as well. That's kind of neat. We should have. It's fun to play with them. But, you know, if you look at a wall, an exterior wall, it's very easy to tell almost immediately, is there insulation in that wall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we want to know that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do many of us assume what is in our walls? Do we think, oh, my house is insulated because it's a 1970-something house? Or because somebody else did a remodel, I'm sure it's all insulated. How do we know? We don't even know that. Next level, we don't know how well insulated it is, and it can help us understand that, too. But that's just part of the picture.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, getting the energy audit, you know, is going to help you get a customized plan for your exact home. You know, but what also is important about getting the energy audit is it gives you a benchmark to where your home is. So once you do a lot of energy retrofits, you can then go back and retest it, and you can see how much improvement you made. You know, you have physical numbers to work with from where you were before you started this and now where you are.
You know, it's really interesting since we started to do this show with you, what I start to pay attention to. And this is just, you know, I don't even know if this is correct, but this was me. You know, I was helping a friend with their, and I had to go into the crawl space, right? Now, the crawl space is not like crazy, like, you know, you can go in and kind of not be like laying in the dirt, right? But there was no insulation in the crawl space. Now, I would have never thought about that. I would really, honestly, before you came on, I would have never thought, oh, I'm in the crawl space, and boy, I don't see any insulation. But I don't, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Here we are talking about energy. This is a crawl space that directly goes to the ground, right?
And outside air.
And outside air. And with the vents, because you got to have the vents to go in the crawl space.
Required by COVID.
And there's no insulation. That can't be right.
Well, and a lot of times our ductwork on our furnaces are down in that crawl space. And our hot water pipes are down in that crawl space.
Mm.
Our hot water heater or the furnace itself might be down in that crawl space. Guess where all that heat's going? The outside air, right? For the most part.
Well, I think, you know, there's a level of awareness that I think, you know, Amy, that you really bring to the table. You know, I'm one of these folks that awareness is the key to life. I really do believe that in a lot of ways. That's why for most of my life I've claimed ignorance. But when you become aware of something, it doesn't go away.
No.
You know, it becomes embedded, like in the crawl space of your mind. You know, and I still have a vision of that crawl space. It's really scary. And I actually said, how come you don't have insulation in here? And you know what the answer was? Let's take a break. We'll come back and I'll share that answer with you because it's going to be right up your ass. Before the break, I was saying that I had the privilege of being in someone's crawl space. this is really something I'm very conscious about. And let me tell you why, because I've helped my friend's dad. We've done many, many remodels in my lifetime. And one of the things I'm very aware of is whenever you're working with insulation to wear safety glasses. So I had my safety glasses on. And why am I very familiar with that? Because once upon a time on a Thanksgiving morning, we did a simple adjustment in the ceiling for electrical, and a piece of the insulation fell in my eye. So when I went in this crawl space, the first thing I looked for was the insulation, and there wasn't any. That just can't be right, Amy. I mean, who does that?
No, I think insulation and air sealing is one of the most important
but
fundamental
nowhere.
Components.
But there was no insulation, like on the living room floor and in the dining room floor.
Welcome to most of our houses.
Yeah, some people might not know that. Some people don't even go down in their crawl spaces till right when they get to sell it, and then they go down there and they find out there's no insulation, and they've been having a family of something live down there for 10 years.
And two ducts are disconnected, and there's water flowing across the dirt.
So I want to talk about that because that's a simple thing that people can do today. I mean, you know, anybody out there that's got a crawl space of any kind, I mean, you know, but people will have you come out and take a look at this. And, you know, for me, when I think about that, you know, my bottom line was, you know what, we could put insulation in here in a hot second. Really wouldn't take very much, or you could hire somebody to do it. But what are some of the myths around this? Because I think if we understand what some of the beliefs are that we're carrying around, it would make this conversation a lot easier for people, and people will really get the advantage.
I think an important thing for people to think about with just energy retrofitting is it's not just about conserving energy.
Mm-hmm.
Conserving energy is important, and you can do that with insulation, which is affordable. But it's also about creating energy and also energy consumption. It's all connected. Conservation, creation, and consumption.
One of the things we talk about, Amy, you and I, and a lot of us talk about, hey, our cheapest form of energy is the energy we don't use, right? We should start there. But it isn't just about cheap. It isn't just about what is the lowest cost measure or the lowest cost path. That's one of the myths that we carry around. We tell ourselves it has to be a great ROI, a return on my investment. It has to have a short payback. Why? Do our kitchens have short paybacks?
Mm-hmm.
Do our extra bedrooms have short paybacks? Do our houses have paybacks? Why do we don't expect paybacks from our cars. But all this energy efficiency stuff, we often get into this mythical conversation about, well, how long is that going to take to pay me back?
Yeah,
I need to know.
I think part of the conversation we forget is when we have a conversation about energy efficiency, we also have a conversation about the quality of the space we're in, which we already did a show on that. I mean, I don't know how you can have one conversation without the other. And once you put those two together, what you find is you're not just measuring the cost of something, but there's a cost avoidance for your health. That's a big conversation around a lot of this. And, you know, I think that's, you know, something that we've talked about here a lot. But I think the myths also that I think we should address have to do with the myth of an enormous cost gap. You know, it's not just there are cost differences. That's not what we hold in our belief. Somewhere over the past 20 years, we've kind of developed this conversation about enormous differences in things. And boy, we've come a long way. You know, it's just not true anymore. You know, it used to be different when gasoline was 90 cents. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. I was corrected. 62 cents a gallon. You know, then we can have that conversation. But we're not there anymore. We're fast forwarding to this century now. So we've got to look at the bigger picture, don't we?
We do, you know, and ultimately, I think it comes down to making good choices and, you know, using energy smart appliances. You know, as Jason was saying, people use energy. Our homes are not what's using the energy. It's the people inside the homes.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit. For those of you out there, if you have any questions, you want to call into the show and let us know, or you want an instant feedback us, please go ahead and do it. 1-800-930-2819. Benny can take your question if you don't want to come on air. Or you can go to the drpatshow.com or transformationtalkradio.com and ask your question there. You know, let's talk a little bit about what the next steps are then. You know, what should we be aware of?
Being aware of how much energy you're consuming is really important. You know, Jason talks a lot about plug loads and how important they are because people just might not understand a lot of energy-consuming devices. Gaming, Xbox and PlayStation, those are one of the highest energy-consuming devices that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people can spend time trying to, you know, conserve their energy. But if you don't understand how much energy you're using and what devices in your house,
mm-hmm.
how much they're using, it's going to be really hard to figure out how to limit your consumption.
At mm-hmm. the same time, we one of the myths we do inadvertently end up spreading when we talk about stuff like this, and we need to be careful to pay attention to it, is that you have to live a simple sort of off in nature life in order to achieve the highest heights of conservation, energy efficiency, whole living, eco-conscious living. Not so, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay attention, right? A TiVo or a DVR burns like a 40-watt light bulb. It's on all day long and all night long. Do you need it on while you're on vacation? Could it be simple enough to plug in a power strip and you hit that little switch on your way out? Just paying attention. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get rid of your DVR.
Mm.
It's
just be aware.
Yeah, awareness and then pay attention.
Mm. So talk about a couple of projects you're working on now. Give us an idea of what this looks like.
Oh, man. We do a big range of projects. Mm-hmm. I should share that with you. We do everything from we're doing a great little kitchen retrofit in a condo on Capitol Hill. And that is coming near its end right now. That's very focused on cabinets and mm-hmm. the dance of cooking. It doesn't have a lot of opportunities for energy, really just the lighting and the appliances in that instance, but we're certainly paying attention to it. We're building a house down on the water in Des Moines from the ground up
mm.
that is kind of exceptional. It has two dwellers,
mm-hmm.
a woman and a man who will be living there who will likely not use any energy, net balance.
Wow.
They have a 9-kilowatt array, and they will probably overproduce. My guess is they won't need that mm-hmm. much energy. So the creation of energy point, they have enough to power their leaf.
Wow.
And it's fun to work on a house like that where we're getting to pull out all the stops.
Well, it's fun to know that that could even be done now. And if you go back 20 years, nobody was talking about anything like that. That terminology didn't exist. You know, let's chat for a minute about solar energy. We've come a long way with that conversation, haven't we?
Yeah.
What are some of the myths around that, especially for the Pacific Northwest?
Well, that it doesn't work here. Right. That's the big myth. And one of the things, when I first looked into this in 2005 for a client, I said, I think it might work here. Let's look at this. One of the things I learned very quickly, you can produce solar on the west slope and the east slope in addition to the south slope of your roof here.
Wow.
Why is that? The latitude we live at. Notice in the summer, where does the sun rise and set? It's way north of the center line.
Right.
It actually turns out we have such a long sun arc that we can enjoy sun on three different aspects of our roofs. The other big thing is there are a lot of photons bouncing around on those high white cloud days. Does it have to be a pure blue sky sunny day to produce energy?
Well, does it?
No.
Yeah, see, that's a myth, right?
You're getting 60% of your production on a day that may have 100% white clouds above you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think, you know, another thing that, you know, Jason was talking about with me last week was, you know, a lot of people think that it still is like a 12 to 15 year payback because people are so obsessed with return on investment. But in the past 2 years, you know, the amount of products and affordability that's come out, the payback period is now about 6, 7 years.
We're seeing 6, 7, 8 year paybacks. Again, we don't ask our cars to pay us back, but we do ask our solar systems to pay us back. So, yeah, 7 years.
Well, we actually have a different break-even point now.
Yes.
Remember, I told you at 62 cents a gallon? That is no longer in existence. There is this idea, right, where the break-even point is at a different point than it was even, right, 4 years ago. It's a different break-even point.
Another big change we've seen in the world, and this is anecdotal, but I meet with a lot of people that talk to them about potentially working with them on their homes. It used to be when I would ask the question, I always ask this question, how long do you plan to be in this home? I would hear 2, 5, 7 years, maybe. Long time in those conversations, a long, long time was 10 years. Today, 10 is about the lowest number I hear. So we've had a shift, right? It has to do with economy. It has to do with our awareness. We are staying in our homes longer, at least in this region. That changes our horizon. If we're at 10 years minimum, a 7-year payback, well, gosh, I got a bonus starting year 8. I'm ahead.
And you have more appreciation in your home because you're creating energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We hadn't talked about this really, you know, very, very much. But there are people that are saying, you know, I'm going to spend, you know what? I'm not going to move. I'm going to spend $100,000 on my home.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I'm not going to move. And by the way, that decision.
My kids are going to inherit this home.
Exactly.
I mean, that's big. I didn't hear that 10 years
ago. I didn't
grow
up with that. I really didn't. I didn't hear that 5 years ago. Maybe you guys did because of the business you're in. But it's kind of a new conversation, you know, that we have out there. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to give you a summary when we come back of the benefits to retrofitting your home. But also, you know, what are some costs, high costs, low costs? What are the decisions that you'll have to learn about in order to do this? And how is the best way? What is the best way for you to go about it? You know, who are the people that you might want to call to bring in and say, what can I do here? Let's take a short break. So thank you for tuning us in. Amy, thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed doing my whole series.
Yeah, it's been cool. Jason, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's just kind of recap and also talk about some of the benefits, some of the things that are really important for people to know about retrofitting their homes.
You know, retrofitting is really important because it will help your home become more energy efficient, which will also help the environment, and it'll also help your indoor air quality. I think, you know, a huge benefit that Jason said a lot of people notice is, you know, basically the increase in comfort and livability of the home. While people are, you know, concerned about how much money they're saving, they're really happy when that one cold spot in their home that they never thought they could do anything with goes away. And, you know, I live in a 1960s home. And Jason, you know, when last week we were talking about HRV systems, you know, when I think about my home, I am worried about the indoor air quality because I have two small children. And, you know, I start wondering, well, do I need to figure out how to get an HRV system in my home? And can you even do that in an existing home? And, you know, how can I really make sure that I am removing the stale air from my house and bringing in fresh air?
Yeah, that was a good conversation. We were talking about how complex the matter of ventilation is and at the same time how important it is. So to me, that gets to, man, when you're talking about the more complex things, it could be, you know, what am I going to do about air sealing this house? I have a weird mid-century house, and I don't know how to get caulk and foam in the right. You know, please, everyone out there, as you think about adding a room to your house or changing how it's laid out so that you can have another child in your family, so that you can move your mother-in-law in, So you can increase the value. Whatever your dreams are for your house, incorporate this energy analysis piece into the plan. It isn't an extra step. It's part of the plan. It's part of the process. That's where transformation happens. When I said earlier that 50% is easy, I mean it's easy when it's part of the whole plan. If in the process of remodeling your kitchen, you actually get a good 10, 20% of the way there, it's great. It's part of the process, and you're already partway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when another big ticket item that people do is replacing their roofs.
Yeah,
and
it
you
is
know,
big.
And a lot of times people are like, well, I just want to do it for as cheap as I can because this already going to cost a lot of money. So, I mean, you know, can you talk about what opportunities are missed if people don't actually incorporate the proper plan when replacing their roof?
You know, the biggest opportunities to make your house a rock star house, to make it just like, oh, I can brag about this to my neighbor. My house uses less energy than my little Toyota pickup. Those are the houses where you have to, for some reason, replace your roof and or you have to, for some reason, replace your siding. Those big weather cladding systems, they're expensive to replace.
Yeah.
You're going to have one opportunity in your life to do it and to do it right. The big opportunity in both those cases is continuous insulation and good continuous air barriers. We can do that stuff on brand new buildings. You probably talked with Martha last week and the week before about mm-hmm. that when you're talking about new construction, but on an existing building, you're going to probably have one chance in your lifetime to attend to that. So think about the system. You're pulling that roof off. What can you do? Well, you can put continuous rigid insulation underneath the new roof, which makes it what we call a hot roof. Now you don't need ventilation in the attic anymore. Could you now use your attic for storage? Did that get you a bump in value and experience that
wow,
you kind of like? You don't have to rent
that
storage unit anymore?
No.
The other one is now it's time to think about solar, right? What aspects? I told you east, west, and south. What aspects do you have? Have an expert out. Talk to your remodeler about how all this stuff fits in. It's retro modeling, right?
It's retro modeling. Isn't that good? You heard it here. It's a first. But even, you know, even looking at that, people need to ask questions. See, I think this is really the big conversation. You know, you need to ask questions, but to the right people. You know, there's no point in asking a question to somebody that really is not familiar with this, right?
Well, no, and it's also, you know, about understanding if you're replacing your roof and because you are doing it the proper way and doing insulation and you can't afford to put the solar panels in, well, when your roof is off, talk to an electrician and just get it wired for solar panels. Your roof is off. It's going to be very affordable to just get it wired for solar panels. So then when you're looking at your plan, the next step you can do is put solar panels in, but the electricity will already be there.
You're here.
I hadn't even thought about that.
And if you just replaced your roof and you're saying, oh, Jason didn't tell me before today that that's my opportunity to put continuous rigid insulation underneath the roof, you can still go from the underside. Mm. It's almost as rock star to use, for example, water-blown polyurethane spray foam as an under insulation for your sloped attic top.
What are we talking about saving people here, though? I mean, I really, you know, we've talked about this before, but I think it's really also worth explaining to people, you know, what you talked about in terms of, you know, the net of this. Because it's hard for folks to imagine. You know, Linda asked me a couple of questions. Did you really mean that you don't have any energy cost in the house? And I said, yeah, that's actually what they did say.
Yeah, when Martha was talking about
that's
it, it was $60 a year. And, you know, I mean, like Jason was saying, you can do that with an existing home. It's very easy to save 50%, you know, and if you're really going to be dedicated and that's your thing, you can get up to 90%, saving 90% of your energy.
I know about a house, not a house we worked on, but a friend of mine in the business just finished a house on Capitol Hill. It will be presented at the Northwest Eco Building Guild's 10x10 event upcoming. They beautiful old stuccoed historic house, about 100 years old on Capitol Hill. They did not want to take the stucco off the outside of the building, right? So they couldn't do what I'm saying. They couldn't clad it with continuous rigid insulation. They still reduced the energy of that house by 83%. They did it all from the inside. The house needed a lot of repair of the interior plaster, et cetera. There is no solar on it yet. They have reduced the needs of that family in that building by 83%. Now, when they choose to install solar, they're not going to have to install that much in order to offset their current energy use.
Mm.
We really are talking about net zero. I like to talk about net positive because I think it's time for us to imagine what's possible. Mm-hmm. Right? Can we power our electric cars with our houses? Yes. It's time to start thinking about the whole, right? How are
we
living?
That's an interesting thought. You know, I want to thank you guys for joining me here today, and thank you, Amy, for what you're doing. I mean, there are a lot of things that people can find out about, you know, in terms of lease costs. What can you do now? I mean, you know, we're talking about some big ticket items, but there are things that people can do now.
There are so many affordable things. I actually made a checklist of retrofitting your home that you can get on my website. And, you know, going back to caulking under drafty doors and around windows and, you know, running your exhaust fans in your bathroom, there's really quiet fans like the Panasonic Whisperlite that can run and on a timer where you're not even going to notice that it's running. And they're very affordable. And so there's a lot of ideas that people can do. There's actually a 2020 Home Fit Challenge that's going on in the Puget Sound region. You can go to my website to look about it. But basically, we're trying to save 20% of the energy used in 20,000 homes by 2020.
Wow.
Because there's so many homes.
6.5 years away. We better get working.
But jump on the wagon. Join. This is something that you do want to follow and be like others. You know,
make all these little efforts part of that. Your caulking, your light bulbs. Let's pay attention to light bulbs now. The days of fluorescent are behind us. Yahoo!
Yeah,
now we can look at LED lamping. We can look at Canlite LED lights that are the right fit, that are the right amount of light. Add that to some smart dimming, some motion sensors. I know it sounds like something in the Starbucks bathroom. It's something you can do in your home. Put it in your laundry room. Put it in your utility room. The houses that have achieved net positive, that are powering their electric cars, they did it with no silver bullet. There's no silver bullet answer. It's 1,000 silver BBs. And you can start now with things as simple as light bulbs and caulk.
Somebody said to me that sensors are the key to eco-living of the future. And I just thought, I don't even know what you're talking about. But you just reminded me. And what he's talking about is we turn on a light in a room. When we leave the room, we do not turn it off. Well, okay, I don't turn it off because I'm walking in and out. But being able to do that makes all the difference in the world without even thinking. Thank you guys for joining us. One more time, websites.
RhinoRaz.com.
BattenLear.com, BattenLear.com. Thank
you, guys. Thank you so much
for
joining me.
Thank you.